Hey, Loco sports fans, when you hear Horizon Rehabilitation in Sports Medicine, think advanced, local, and specialized therapy care. The team at Horizon prides themselves on the diversity of their 30-plus specialized treatment programs, including advanced sports medicine and orthopedic care, as they offer the area's only Alter-G treadmill and have an indoor heated resistance therapy pool. For nearly 15 years, Horizon's outpatient, physical, occupational, and sports medicine programs have been addressing the needs of athletes, weekend warriors, and their fans. At any level, at any age or stage, their specialized therapists and athletic trainers are ready to get you back in the game. Visit HorizonRehabilitation.com for more information or call 843-671-REHAB. That's 843-671-REHAB. Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, proud sponsors of LocoSports.com.
This is the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr.
Hey, Loco sports fans. Welcome to another edition of the Loco Lowdown.
I am your host, Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr. And we are talking some sports in the South Carolina Lowcountry, covering Beaufort, Jasper, and Colleton counties. And Wes, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, including the basketball season as we get toward the postseason, and teams are still battling with trying to avoid that COVID-19 exposure so they can keep their seasons going. We got some news on spectators being allowed back at the RBC Heritage this year. We got a recap of National Signing Day and the couple of days around it the past few days. Lots of kids moving on to play at the next level, including an interview with one of those guys who hasn't quite made his decision yet, but is on the cusp. Sam Suma going to join us a little later on for the Loco sit down. And then we'll talk a little bit about USCB and USC Salcahatchie. USCB getting the softball, baseball, track and field, and golf seasons going, and USC Salk getting the basketball season underway, both men and women off to a great start. So we'll talk about all that and then name our teams of the week. But first of all, Wes, how you been doing this past week, buddy? How you holding up out there?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm doing very well. It's been a fun week covering events really from all over the area. Basketball starting to heat up as we get closer to playoffs, and man, we've got a strong group of squads who all have a chance to make some deep runs and bring home some titles. Hilton Head is looking legit on the boys' side. Whale Branch girls certainly have what it takes to run the table, and then Hilton Head Christian Academy girls looking to make it three straight. So we're going to be a really fun next couple of weeks on the basketball court. And I got to head over to Richard Gray Sports Complex in Hardeeville to catch the opening weekend for some USCB softball, doing some PA work over there. That was an awesome time. Bailey Wickness' squad is looking fantastic, especially the pitching. Gave up just one run in two games. Allie Maraskin, the transfer from Florida International, was as advertised. So really, really happy to see her out there. She is phenomenal. And looking forward to doing some more action on Sunday against Montreat. So a ton happening all over the Loco. And, of course, signing day this week. I went over to Hilton Head to see a pair of fantastic student-athletes signing to play at the next level. So awesome to see, especially after all the uncertainty that came through this past spring and this past year. So it makes it even more special. And it should be a great weekend. Looking forward to a great Super Bowl. It's just hope for continued health all the way around leading up to the game. What a fantastic generational quarterback matchup. We hope everyone enjoys the game safely Sunday night. Now, there was a scare this past week that I found out about with some of the Chiefs. 20 players, including Patrick Mahomes, were set to get a haircut, and they found the barber tested positive for COVID. And so they were able to cancel. Unfortunately, there were two players who were close contacts and had to be added to the COVID list, but it nearly was disastrous. So a good call recognizing the positive test, and unfortunate for the players who had to be added to the reserve list. But at least they saved themselves from having to potentially deal with losing Patrick Mahomes for the Super Bowl. So,
as a Chiefs fan, I was big mad when I saw that, honestly, because how do you let those guys go into a barbershop and get in line or wherever they were and get in line for haircuts with a guy and you don't have a negative COVID test on file for him? Like, how does that test come in while someone is in his chair? I don't understand that. You have to be more careful than that the week of the Super Bowl.
That's taking a tremendous risk, and you just, I'm very surprised that these teams and players would be taking a risk like that before playing in the biggest game of their lives. So it's there were two players who ratted, but thankfully they saved themselves from a complete disaster. But really, really crazy times. Hopefully we ourselves stay safe and keep away from the big parties this Sunday and maybe have some virtual or some family-only get-togethers this year for the big game.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be low-key at our house, which is, with my team in it, I don't want a lot of people around anyway if it doesn't go well. So it'll just be our family, all Chiefs fans here. So we'll be very one-sided and either very happy or very sad at the end of the night. But this is one of my favorite times of year, man. Like, you got the NFL playoffs building up to the Super Bowl. You've got National Signing Day, you know, where we get to celebrate the kids who are going on to the next level. You've got the start of spring sports, which, you know, baseball is back in the low country. I was watching the USCB games from home yesterday on the live stream, listening to our guy Carlo Peruzza do the play-by-play. So that was really fun. Carlo and I used to call those games together back in the day. So it's really cool to hear him taking the lead over there.
Does he have a catchphrase?
He's got a couple that he's worked on for years. Dinger time for home runs. So he busted that one out for the Andy Castro yesterday. And then I kind of coined the win with a fin thing when I was the SID there.
Nice.
And they're still using it. So that made me feel pretty happy yesterday when Carlos said that's a win with a fin.
Awesome.
Stock game too. So I'm really excited about that team. They we'll talk about them a little bit later, but they're off to a great start. The pitching is tremendously improved and that's really where you make a big difference in wins and losses. So it was great to hear Carlo. It's great to have baseball back in the Loco. I know the high school teams are firing it up for spring sports and it's just an exciting time, even if it causes me a little bit of anxiety about how much content we're going to have to produce very soon and how we're going to get that done. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get into it here, Wes. The basketball season is rolling along. It has been marked by stops and starts for various teams. And as we've talked about on the Hoops Report in particular, any given night, about two-thirds of the games that were originally on the schedule are postponed for one reason or another, because one team or another has been exposed. And it kind of has that domino effect where it starts to, they got exposed and we played them last, so now we're exposed kind of thing. And now we're down to it where we're less than 2 weeks out from the playoffs getting started. And this is the point where these teams really have to be extra careful and locked down, because an exposure that isn't carefully mitigated within your team is going to end your season right now. And we saw that with Thomas Hayward. Thomas Hayward, the Rebels were struggling through the basketball season. I don't think it made a lot of sense for them to continue to play if there was much risk involved. They weren't going to make the playoffs. So responsible decision in my mind when they did have an exposure within their program, they just shut it down. And I think that's probably for the best with that particular program. And I think it brings up a good point about the fact that there isn't a one size fits all approach to this necessarily. If you have to assess your risk level and your comfort with taking that risk and what's at stake and put all that together and make an informed decision. And I think in this case, Thomas Hayward saw that, we're not going to be competitive. We're not going to be in the postseason. And if it's going to be a risk to our program, to our school community, then it's probably best that we just shelve this basketball season and move on. And I commend them for making that decision from a responsibility standpoint. It certainly hurts for the kids though, to have their season stop so abruptly like that.
Yeah, it's a shame to see the Rebels have to pull the plug on the season, but there's a large amount of exposure and safety obviously comes before basketball. And so it certainly was the right decision to shut it down and call it quits for 2020-21. And they worked hard all year long. And I was so impressed by their dedication all season long. Awesome to see Bruce Apuche one last time for Thomas Hayward, got to see the Rebels take on Hilton Head Prep. Man, he's just been a really fun, spectacular athlete to watch and cover. So he's going to be missed next year. And by the way, fun to see Nick Shuford coaching hoops over there. He was on the sidelines over there at the Hilton Head Prep game. So he was doing a fantastic job.
I know he's looking forward to baseball season too.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate though to see the Rebels end that season early, but especially for some, it's the end of their careers, which is always sad to see. But you're certainly grateful for every opportunity you get to put on a jersey and compete this school year, and certainly have built lasting memories from playing this season.
Yeah, for sure. And just a point of clarification, Nick is not the baseball coach there now. He is the AD and football coach, but Leon Etheridge is now the baseball coach. But that was Nick's program for a long time, and he's a big baseball guy. So I know as disappointed as he is to shut it down for the winter, he's looking forward to getting those guys out on the baseball field with Leon and you know, getting started on their season too. So, you know, we're in that transition period where it definitely makes sense if you're not going to be in the postseason and you have any kind of exposure to just shut her down and move on to spring, because a lot of those kids are going to be joining those teams anyway. And that way you limit that Venn diagram exposure, so to speak, too. So, you know, could work out for the best. Unfortunate for the kids to have it in so abruptly, but great nonetheless. And some other good news on the COVID front. We haven't had a ton of it, especially in the sports world, but good news for us is that the RBC Heritage is going to allow limited spectators for 2021. Of course, last year they postponed the tournament in April and ended up playing it in June with no spectators, which I think was the right call at the time. PGA Tour has been, you know, very cautious about this. But as we look to April and more people have a vaccination and, you know, hopefully the cases are dropping rapidly at that point, it looks like we're going to be able to have some limited spectators. They're not doing week-long tickets. They're doing single day tickets only, which is probably good. I like that. You know, it allows more people to be able to get that single day ticket possibly, and just helps them control the number on each day, because those week-long tournaments or week-long tickets, you never know how many people are going to use them on a given day. But with the individual single day tickets, they'll be able to control the number a lot better. And I think this is, you know, the smart move forward. I don't think it's a great idea to open it all the way up. And certainly as we get closer and we get to March and we get to April, you know, that may be something that comes back on the table. But the cautious approach or the somewhat cautious approach, I guess, of saying we're going to allow some spectators, but we're going to limit it is a great starting point. And, you know, at least opens up the possibility to get out there for a day. And hopefully, you know, as we get closer, maybe they'll be able to lift the restrictions a little bit more.
Yeah, I think all of us these days are dying for that first chance to go to a big public event, whether it's a concert or a party or a large function, because it's nearly been a year since we've really had that opportunity. So this offers some hope that if things continue on the right track, that we'll be able to see some fans at the RBC Heritage. So obviously there's going to be a multitude of precautions in place, and certainly many changes to how we watch the tournament at Harbortown. Of course, for starters, mask wearing is going to be required along with social distancing. Mask worn at all times, except when eating or drinking. Going to have like visual and audio cues to make sure spectators are doing the best job they can, staying 6 feet apart. Limiting number of fans at a certain area on the course. I got to make sure fans are masked up and spread out. And golf lends itself to that well. Fans don't have to be all squashed together. They can kind of distance all around the course and still get a good view of the action. Temperature checks are required, which I think actually could be something that could stick around even after the pandemic is over at these big events to kind of mitigate disease spread going forward. I think that's something that could very well stick around after COVID is over. They're going to have a health questionnaire given to make sure that attendees are symptom free. And then if you're looking for those autographs or high fives from your favorite player, unfortunately, those are going to have to wait until another year. That's an obvious no-no during these times. And as much as we'd love that fan interaction with players, there are just too many big risks. We can't afford any mistakes. We also need to make sure that there are as few high touch areas as possible. Maybe that tee times brochure goes virtual instead of kind of grabbing a copy on your way in. Little things like that, they can try to do to kind of lessen the risks of spread as much as possible. They also said no consumption of food or drink within 10 feet of the ropes, you know, to make sure players and caddies and other personnel stay as safe as possible. Then at the end of the day, fans are asked to immediately exit the venue while socially distanced and their masks on. Unfortunately, they may not have like the post-round party atmosphere like normal. Hopefully next year in 2022, we're much closer or to at a normal Heritage at that time. But, you know, getting the opportunity to have fans back, that's certainly great news. I mean, I think, it also is a big responsibility on us. Everyone's got to do their part to follow all the precautions around the island leading up to the tournament. And we hope that this doesn't turn into outbreaks. I'm really optimistic if everyone masks up, and we know how much masks lessen the chance of spread, and outdoor events also pose less risk, which is why we could see fans return to outdoor venues sooner than indoor venues. And so, you know, fewer tickets will go on sale. The official partners will be first in line, followed by past ticket buyers before the general public gets their opportunity. So we hope as many spectators as possible get the opportunity to visit the Heritage. It's something we always look forward to so much on the island, and something that we certainly will not take for granted.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're making some great moves as far as, you know, how they're going to mitigate things. And like you said, golf lends itself. And for a lot of people, frankly, it will not impact how they spectate the Heritage at all. A lot of people take their folding chair out to, you know, number 5 or number 6 or number 13 or some place on the course that they like to watch all the groups go through, and they camp out and don't talk to another human being all day long anyway, outside of their circle. So for a lot of people, it'll just be a day at the golf course. For others who like to gather and, you know, partake in some adult beverages out at the Sundress City or the Bermuda Shorts Triangle, as I like to call it, out between 10, 16, and 17, then, you know, it's going to be a little different experience for them this year. But certainly, you know, it's a great sign that we're going to be able to get people out there. I like the idea of getting rid of the grandstands and, you know, having standing spaced out areas. And in some ways, I think it will make the golf a little bit more spectator friendly in a little bit of ways, just because you won't get those areas where people are so crowded up and you can't see anything. You know, people will be a little bit more spread out. You won't be able to see everything as much, but you'll be able to see what you do see very well. So, you know, I think it could be a positive viewing experience for some of the fans, and it's certainly better than what we had last year. And speaking of good news, how about a great day on Wednesday? And actually, it kind of started on Tuesday, because Ian Sharkey from Colleton County went ahead and signed his paperwork with South Carolina State on Tuesday night, or had his ceremony. And then we had a whole bunch of signings on Wednesday. And a lot of these people are already signed, but they had their ceremonies on Wednesday. At May River, we had Ahmad Green and Stephen Gadsden going to the Citadel for football. Kaylee Powell, Giovanna Rodriguez signing for softball. I was over at Hilton Head Christian for John Peduzzi's signing with Lenore Ryan. You were at Hilton Head High for Cameron Matusik and Abby Lanehart signing. We had Gabriel Jenkins over at Buford High, where Marlon Belden, Terrence Wilson, and I think maybe one more signed. Gosh, I can't even keep track of them all, Wes. It was a great day to see so many kids from the Lowcountry signing to play at the next level, and just a day of hope, optimism, and joy, man. It was so much fun.
What a day it was for so many of our Loco stars. I mean, taking their steps to the college level, just so many fantastic athletes signing. Congratulations to all. A few who really caught my attention. You mentioned Jacob Peduzzi signing with his family, including head coach Ron Peduzzi. That's an awesome moment. I can't wait to see him at Lenore Ryan. Really, the possibilities are limitless of how they use him, whether they put him out as a slot receiver, throw it deep to him, or and let his speed really go to work. They put him on defense as that safety role that really shined in the playoffs last year. 2 picks in the state title game. Man, he's got so much potential wherever they choose to play him, and he just works so hard. He's going to thrive at the next level. So congratulations, JP. Two May River football stars going to the college game. Ahmad Green, one of the best athletes we've ever seen come through here, going to the Citadel. Just amazing speed and agility. I really hope he gets a chance at quarterback, but I think they have some other options on how to use him. Maybe kind of that electric runner pass catcher hybrid, or maybe they put him out wide. He's going to find a very significant role some way. He's just too talented. And then his teammate, Stephen Gatson, that ball hawk in the secondary, joining the Mott, the Citadel, terrific hands, really just knows where to be in every situation. He's a DB first, but he can also do as a wide receiver. So certainly he should be competing for a role maybe in that defense and find a way to make an impact on that squad. So great to see two teammates joining forces at the Citadel. That's awesome. And by the way, somebody's got to take a chance on Eli Hall. I mean, he's been a beast out there. I mean, talk about a wrestler, the wrestling football combo. I mean, his strength is phenomenal, just so dedicated to whatever he does. And, you know, I see a guy that if he gets a chance, he's going to take with it and run with it. If I was looking for a linebacker right now, I'd be on him right away. What an impact player he has been for the Sharks. I really hope he gets that chance. at the next level. So congratulations as well to softball players Kaylee Powell and Giovanni Rodriguez. Powell to USC Sauk and Rodriguez to Belmont Abbey. Fantastic players, really contributed so much to that Shark program. And after all they went through last year with that junior season being cut short, it must be even sweeter to really put that pen to paper and know that you're going to be playing college softball. So congrats to both of those fantastic May River softball stars. And here's another guy I'm so happy for, Kylan Simmons from Bluffton. Yeah. Outstanding.
And Luke Bond as well. They're both going together to Limestone. That is a great spot for them.
Fantastic. That's great. I'm very, very happy for both of those stars. You know, Kylan Simmons was a standout running back, and I'm sure he'll get his chance to get a spot in the backfield. But I mean, he's also a guy who can use that speed and that power. But his setup right there, 5'10", 210 pounds, I could see him. I could certainly see him as a linebacker. I mean, he's got all the skills to really thrive at that position, and he's going to be making plays all over the field along with his teammate Luke Bond. So awesome to see them get that opportunity. And then I was at Hilton Head High and I got to see two fantastic athletes going on to the college ranks. Swimmer Cameron Matusik going to Nazareth College in New York. Just such a dedicated athlete. Been at it for so many years under Coach Mike Lane, both at Hilton Head High School for swimming and also at the H2A program. You know, fantastic at breaststroke. Got top 10 finish in the 100 breast along with the 200 IM individual medley at the state meet. So awesome opportunity. And he's doing this while studying to become a physical therapist. So congratulations to Cameron. Going to do some amazing things. And Abby Lanehart, who you may remember a few years ago, she scored the game-winning goal in the state championship as a freshman in 2018. If you're doing that as a freshman, you are a special player. And, you know, she has some phenomenal footwork, great scoring talent. Her older sister, Lexi, was also a college soccer player who played, I believe, at South Carolina. So congratulations to Abby. Looking forward to seeing her on the pitch in the spring. And then as she heads to Western Carolina in the fall, that's awesome. Going to see her as a Catamount play in the fall. So really excited for both of those tremendous Seahawks. Congratulations to both of them. In fact, let's hear from both Cameron Matusik and Abby Lanehart now on the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Cameron, congratulations on your signing at Nazareth. Tell me about what it means to put pen to paper today and make it official.
I'm just very grateful and very blessed to like just be in this position, all the hard work and all like the support. And I'm just so grateful for everyone in my life. And like, I'm super excited for what's to come.
Briefly run down your greatest accomplishments in high school swimming, both at the school level and H2A.
Oh, so first one is getting second overall for team in high school states. That's probably the never done highest ranking in school history. Placing top 20 in club for my 200 breaststroke for my age group. I could go on and on, but I'm kind of more of a team player than more of a accomplishment, but I'm just so grateful.
What would you say is your go-to primary stroke now going?
Go-to
in terms of events,
speed breaststroke. That it depends either 100 or 200, but. Breaststroke is the go-to stroke, and I'm trying to do IM too, but breaststroke's got to be a go-to.
Tell me about the coaches, family, the people that helped you get to where you are now.
Well, for starters, like, they've just been really supportive, really, really great people. Like, they've just been through, like, the ups and downs, and I'm just very, like, thankful for them. And without them, I wouldn't be here, I'd say. So.
And finally, what are your goals at the next level at Nazareth, both in the water and academically?
Well, my next goals are to try to do well in swimming, but also I want to try to focus on completing my major of physical therapy and trying to be a physical therapist. So, and just overall living life and just enjoying it.
Outstanding. Congratulations, Cameron.
Thank you.
Abby, congratulations on signing to play at Western Carolina. What does it mean today after so much hard work to finally put that pen to paper?
It's definitely a relief. I'm super excited to play at the next level. It's only the start, so that's that.
Tell me about your greatest accomplishments at the high school level through your time at soccer.
Yeah, definitely my freshman year. I think it was 2018. We won the state championship, so that was super exciting point in my life.
And you scored a big goal in that game, correct?
Yes, I did. The game-winning goal.
Fantastic. Tell me about your reaction when your junior season last year got cut short due to COVID, and kind of how that pushed you to keep at it, keep working hard, and get this opportunity.
Yeah, I was super bummed. We were going to be so good last year. We had all of our D1 players that are now D1 with us. So we were definitely going to get the state title, but that just, it made me upset, but it made me want to work even harder, because now that we don't have their talent to help us out, we have the younger players. So that just makes me want to push harder and show them an example and get another state championship.
Well, I think Western Carolina is a fantastic choice for you. What were the key factors that sold you in this decision?
Definitely the coaching staff. They made me feel at home. They were persistent in contacting me and trying to get me to come up there and see the school. And once I did, I fell in love with it. And yeah.
This must be a dream come true for you. How excited are you to take that next step in the fall and get on campus?
I'm really excited. I'm ready to start the next step, the next chapter of my life.
Tell me about the coaches, parents, friends, people that really helped you get to where you are now.
Yeah, I've had multiple coaches throughout the years that have all taught me different things. Nothing bad. They all were supportive, and my parents taking me to travel everywhere, my grandparents, everything, and my teammates pushing me to be the best that I can be, different teams. It's just awesome.
Awesome. Finally, Abby, what are your goals on the field, at the next level at Western Carolina, and also academically?
Yeah, definitely. I want to be a straight-A student right off the bat, for sure. Grades are super important to me, but I also want to see the field almost all game, work super hard, and prove my spot on the team that I can make it a better team.
Outstanding. Congratulations, Abby.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, that's great stuff, Wes. And you know, it's great to see these kids get an opportunity to continue their careers, but you know, and continue to chase the dream, especially for these kids who, you know, kind of had their high school careers disrupted these past 2 years. I mean, we don't know what the spring's going to look like, but certainly the spring sports athletes lost their entire season last year, or most of it, and then this fall and winter were unusual at best. They were not normal seasons, and we'll see what spring looks like. I think it will be closer to normal, but certainly, you know, there's something to be said for getting the opportunity to strap it on one more time and maybe have a little bit more normal experience in college. And a few more that I left out: Rogue Wallace from Buford High, signing for baseball at Spartanburg Methodist. Got another one coming next week on Tuesday. Actually, already signed the paperwork, but Jalen Reeves at Whale Branch will have his ceremony. He's signing with Bluefield State up in Virginia to play football. So, you know, lots of kids, and I'm sure we let some slip through the cracks. Theron Cannon and John Hampton Hewlett both signed out at Thomas Hayward a while back, but they had their ceremonies as well. So apologize to anyone we're leaving out at this moment, but the list is very long, as you can see. So it's a lot to keep track of. We're still trying to get coverage of all those signing day events posted on the website, because there were so many, and you know, just trying to pull everything together. Some of the ceremonies were closed, so it was difficult to get information, and which we certainly understand, but a great day nonetheless, and a whole bunch of people who are getting, you know, a shot to play at the next level, well-deserved. And for many, that the reality is that's the only way financially that it was going to happen for them to go to college. So that's the, you know, kind of the untold story, is that a lot of these kids would not get that opportunity at a secondary education if they didn't have that scholarship and that opportunity to play sports at the next level. So,
and we always love covering these amazing athletes over here in the Loco. And we always say one of our favorite parts of this is covering state championships and see them take home titles. But another amazing part of this is seeing them take the step to the next level and get a chance to receive an education at the college ranks. And that just always makes me feel so good, because all these kids put in so much hard work day in, day out at practice, at games, in the classroom, and seeing it all pay off warms my heart. Congratulations to all of these amazing young men and women. Just so happy to see them succeed, and we wish them all the best at the next level.
We have, and in fact, we had one other guy who we thought might sign on Wednesday. He was originally listed on the docket, but he was not ready to make that decision. And that is something that I respect a lot. Sam Souma had a whole bunch of offers sitting out there for him, and he could have pulled the trigger on Wednesday, but he just wanted to wait and make sure that he had the best possible fit for him. And we talked to him a little bit about that thought process and why he decided to wait, as well as what he expects to happen over these next couple of weeks. And we talked to him about what a phenomenally fun basketball season he and his Hilton Head Island Seahawks are having so far, playing with Will McCracken, you know, making a run at a region title and hopefully much more. Wes, this was, I say this all the time because we have some phenomenal interviews with some great student athletes around here, but this may have been the best one we've had yet, as far as just a student athlete who totally gets it and you know, is engaging and thoughtful and just the total package. Sam Souma is the real deal, man, and somebody's going to be really, really lucky to have him on their football team.
Absolutely, one of the best student athletes we've ever talked to. Just so excited for Sam. What a tremendous person. An amazing young man, and still weighing his options. And I respect that. You don't always have to make a decision so early, and he's still weighing it through. And I certainly respect the student athletes who take the time and make sure they make the right decision. And so I'm so happy for Sam, so proud of him. What a memorable career in high school, starting at JP2 and then as a Seahawk. And only got 3 football games this year, but I'm sure he enjoyed everyone, and he really was grateful every time he got to take the field this year. And he delivered 2 wins, some really strong play at quarterback. And he's just got a tremendous athletic build, that size and that strength. And man, he has been dominant on the basketball court, just unstoppable on his way to the rim this year. Man, is that team fun to watch? Eyeing that region title and looking to take it deep into the postseason and maybe even a chance to bring home the state title. That would be outstanding. What a huge part he is of that team's success. And I really think, speaking of basketball, and we've talked about it many times, but that tight end role is a perfect fit. I mean, using that strength to block and then get that power, getting open, catching the ball, breaking some tackles. And I believe he has a chance to make a monster impact as a tight end, not only just on Saturday, but maybe even on Sunday down the road. And then, what a fantastic young man. Tremendous, tremendous job in that interview. He's got all the qualities. As he said, he is a complete, absolutely outstanding young man. All the skills, all the qualities, all the intangibles to go far in sports, especially that phenomenal leadership. That's going to take him anywhere. And after he hangs him up, I think he'll go far in whatever he wants to do in life.
No question. There are not a lot of guys who 2 different schools claim you and they're both proud, but John Paul II and Hilton Head High are both very proud to have Sam Souma as their alumni, even if he'll graduate from one and not the other. He did great things at both schools, and I think he's going to do great things wherever he goes next. We talked to him about a whole bunch of things. Let's get to know Sam Souma a little bit better in the Loco Sit Down. Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another Loco Sit Down. And we've been teasing this one for a little while because we've been working with Sam to try to get him on the show. But we've got the man of the hour, Sam Souma, joining us now on the Loco Sit Down. Obviously having a phenomenal basketball season, and the Seahawks are looking really good going into the postseason. It's been a really fun season for you guys, but also some big news on the recruiting front from the football side. Been working really hard since the season ended to convert yourself into a tight end and showcase yourself to some colleges. And we thought maybe you were going to sign yesterday, but didn't pull the trigger. So we're really excited to have you on today, so you can kind of tell us about that, that process, that thought process on waiting, and what you hope to come out of that. But first of all, just kind of tell us what a incredible senior season it's been. Obviously an unusual one, didn't get to play as much football as you'd like, but certainly a memorable one, and one you'll never forget.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. My parents and I were sitting down and on the couch the other day, and we were like, man, this past like month and a half has just gone by like a blink of an eye. You know, for so long we were hoping that, you know, the recruiting side, we'll talk about that first, that would
you know, come through and I'd have opportunities to go play in college, because that's what I've wanted to do for literally since I can remember watching football. I wanted to play in college. And so forever we were like, man, I hope this works. Just keep working hard and, you know, opportunities will rise. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, we couldn't even sit down. We were going visiting schools, going to, you know, talking with coaches. And then obviously with basketball mixed into that, it was literally like there was no dull second for literally the past month and a half. So finally able to sit down and kind of recuperate a little bit. It's a blessing to be able to, you know, have these opportunities. And obviously, like you said, we're doing really well on the basketball court too. So that's an awesome opportunity to have with those guys on top of, you know, the stuff that's happening with football.
Awesome. Congratulations on all these accomplishments. Tell me about these last few months about the senior season. You know, there's certainly no guarantees that we would play any games this fall or this winter. So you got to play three during football season. How special were those three games, being able to play, go out there as a Seahawk on the gridiron during senior year and get that rivalry winner for Bluffton?
For sure. I think just like you said, there was no guarantees. So going into it, we were trying to prepare for a full 10 game season, but at the same point, be ready for just having only one game to showcase what we've done and what we've worked so hard for. So like you said, you know, it was definitely a weird time in that preparation year, meeting on Zoom or, you know, trying to get a couple guys to go and, you know, throw at some other field because we couldn't be on Hilton Head's property. So, you know, it was definitely weird trying to prepare for that. But it was like we've talked about, both my family and coaches and even teammates, this is setting you up for the rest of your life. So having to battle a little bit of adversity, maybe playing a game, you know, we definitely wish we would have had 7 games, 10 games. But even like you said, just having three was an awesome opportunity to go out there with those guys and compete.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, a little bit of a disappointment, especially for you guys, but I think across the board the way the football season unfolded. But, you know, like you said, just getting on the field was really a big accomplishment this year and a blessing. But, you know, I was actually apprehensive about basketball season, but, you know, it seems like it's worked fairly well. I know it's been difficult. You guys are playing like football schedules rather than basketball schedules, where you play once or every week or every other week, it seems like sometimes. But how difficult has that been to kind of get in a flow, you know, when you don't know when you're going to be playing night to night or week to week?
I think that it's, you know, been a huge challenge. That's probably been one of the more challenging aspects of both football and basketball season. The biggest thing about basketball for me, especially, and I think some of the guys on our team, is just getting that like camaraderie of playing together in a 5-on-5 setting and getting into that game shape, I think were two things that literally, you know, you can run all you want in practice. You can play all you want 5-on-5 with ones and twos going against each other. But until you get in there and really go up against another team's best five players, you're not going to get that game experience. So like you said, having those weeks, we've had a week where we were going to play on Tuesday, found out Monday night that we weren't playing. And then we were going to play on Friday, found out Friday morning we weren't playing. So then all of a sudden we had 7 days of practice in a week, and it was just like a football schedule without the game on Friday. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you never know what to expect until nothing's guaranteed until you're literally in the game. So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but luckily we've, you know, kind of, knock on wood, stayed away from the bug as we were, you know, deeply entrenched in it during football season. But luckily we've stayed safe during basketball season, so we have been able to go for the whole season.
Take me back to the beginning of the school year this fall. You and Brooke Simons, our great intern, led a push to kind of tell your peers that in order to play this season, we all had to follow the guidelines. So just tell me about how you and Brooke grew that campaign and kind of shared those messages with your fellow athletes with Hilton High and throughout the Loco, so we could have a football season and a basketball season and a volleyball season. And hopefully we can keep it that way for the spring sports.
Absolutely. You know, obviously that she did a great job with that whole thing. And we just tried to tag team to reach multiple different, you know, bases of people, whether it's football, volleyball. You know, they did a great job with it. They ended up, I think, wearing masks in games sometimes, but I think they knew going into it, they had a really good shot to compete for everything. And obviously they ended up winning the whole thing, which is an awesome accomplishment for them. So, we kind of got to the point where it was getting later into the year and we were like, all right, we got to figure out something. And, you know, it ended up working out and things happened with teams where we were able to kind of put some guidelines down to help combat it. And obviously for some sports, it worked out better than others, but yeah, it was awesome. She did a great job leading through that. And we try to tag team as much as possible.
Obviously this year, you guys were excited about basketball season coming in, but then Will McCracken comes back to the island and that just totally changed the dynamic on that team. Talk a little bit about how much fun it has been to play with him and just, you know, how much he makes everybody better and elevates your whole team.
For sure. And I've said this a couple times after games, just talking with Wes real quick. And I mean, it is just, like you said, it's so much fun. Like last year, it was kind of, we had a grinded out mentality as far as the games went. We were going to get stops on defense, and I think last year against Bluffton, literally the score at halftime was like 8-6, and we were just going to try and get as many stops as possible, and we were going to be very efficient and try and get layups on the other end. And you know, with the personnel we had last year, that really only resulted in a couple 40-point, 50-point, but really 30 and 40-point games. And we were able to kind of squeak some wins out. And it was very stressful for, I think, all of us, fans, coaches, teammates. So this year with Will coming in, I mean, I didn't really know too much about him with me being new. But everybody I talked to was like, dude, he's an insane athlete. I saw videos of him going between his legs at the rec center, dunking it. So that was, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, because I think he's probably one of the more explosive athletes I've ever seen across the board. I knew his younger brothers from playing football, but then that first practice when we figured out we weren't playing a game, I'm pretty sure he took a put back and put it down on somebody's head, and I was just like, oh man, this is what we're doing. And like you said, I mean, it just elevates the play of everybody else, because nobody else wants to get dunked on, nobody wants to get blown by, get a three shot in their face. So everybody, you know, raises their level of intensity, which, you know, makes it so that when we're practicing, we want to be, you know, so intense that when we get to the game, it's almost like a step back. Like we're almost able to kind of relax. And that's the fun part. Whereas last year, I feel like we were very intense in practice, but we'd get in there and be a little bit stressed out because we knew we weren't going to be able to put up the points. And with Will putting up 43 the other night, it was literally like, holy, like we were just feed him the ball and get out of his way because nobody could guard him. And it was super cool to be a part of and watch him. It was just like he was in the zone. I don't even know if he said a word during the whole thing. It was just like shot, make, shot, make, shot, make, shot, make. So that was a really cool thing to be a part of.
Absolutely. Just right in the hot hand. This basketball season, I mean, it's been a blast for you guys. Tell me about how this group has improved as a whole. I mean, obviously, Will McCracken has been an absolute superstar along with yourself. And you know, we've seen how important the bench has played as well on Tuesday night against Bluffton. You and Will got in some foul trouble, but those role players like Adam Clark, Kedrick Black, and some of those others really stepped up in a big way. Tell me about how you guys have bonded over the last couple months and worked together to get to this remarkable 7-0 start in the region.
For sure. I think that, you know, a big key to that is everybody's a good person. You know, we like to, you know, make jokes and stuff like that, but we're really like a family. And there's 15 guys, and like you said, we talk, you know, you use the term role players or, you know, starters. Everybody, we feel like we could put anybody in at any point and they could produce for us. And that's what I think is so much different than last year, especially, is we feel comfortable with everybody on the team going in and making an impact immediately. Like literally as soon as they step on the floor, whether it's getting a stop, getting a rebound, you know, getting a bucket. And that's really helped us gel together too, because in practice, like I said, you don't really get that true ones versus twos. We mix up the team so much, everybody plays with each other, so we really have camaraderie between, you know, the five that are starting and then maybe the five who don't see the floor a ton. But because of that, we can expect those guys to go in and immediately make an impact, which is an awesome thing to be able to do. And like literally Tuesday was a great example of that, with Will and I kind of being in foul trouble. Adam just goes in and we didn't even think twice about it. We saw those shots going up and we were already getting our 3-point celebrations going. We knew they were going in. So having that, you know, respect for each other and ability to trust each other, I think is going to pay dividends, especially in the playoffs when we go in there and maybe teams are doing what Bluffton does and they're trying to play a box and one to just keep the ball out of Will's hands. We definitely have the personnel to be able to kind of take the game out of Will's hands, maybe if they're trying to do that and still be able to compete and win.
Well, you've been doing this balancing act with the basketball season and the football recruiting. And then yesterday, of course, was National Signing Day and you were on the schedule, so to speak, but you weren't ready to make that decision. Tell us a little bit about what went into you deciding to hold off, you know, kind of your thought process on that and what you think the impact of that will be. I mean, obviously this is a weird year for recruiting anyway, but you always have these situations with National Signing Day where, you know, guys come off the board and offers open up. And I would think for a guy like you, who you're not late to the recruiting game, but with the position change, you know, you were a little bit late getting yourself out there with the video and stuff as a tight end. So do you feel like maybe some full offers may emerge where there were preferred walk-on offers before, or what do you think is going to be the fallout of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, is that possibly some opportunities arise. But I think, like you said, maybe I'm not super late to the recruiting game, but last year I was not really in the physical position to be, you know, at the next level. I'm a younger guy for my grade. But this year, you know, I really dedicated myself to getting in better shape, building strength. So now I'm at the position I feel being 6'7", 230, 235 pounds, whereas last year I was, you know, 6'6", 195 pounds. Being in the position to kind of take that next jump, in that aspect, I feel like I'm kind of late just because I wasn't really in the position to play anything other than quarterback. And now being kind of a tight end prospect to, you know, a good amount of teams, I feel like that has opened up more doors to me, for me. So yeah, I think maybe with maybe a week or two more, some more schools will find out about me and maybe they'll have some more openings.
Yeah, I really think the tight end role is a tremendous fit for your skill sets. Give me your thoughts about transitioning from a quarterback role to a tight end. And you certainly have all the traits and skills to thrive in that new setting. And, I mean, you know, all the basketball players turn tight ends in the NFL, like Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, et cetera, who thrived at basketball and then made some tremendous careers at the tight end position.
Absolutely. And that's a big, you know, pulling point for me going to the tight end position, is it's really, there's not that many true high school tight ends. So there's a lot of room for growth within the first few months and years in college at the position. And yeah, I think you're completely right. I think that my skill set physically translates well into a tight end position. Just continuing to gain strength and weight, I think that, you know, that'll really help me at the next level. And you're completely right. Going up and grabbing a rebound is kind of like going up and high pointing a football. So, you know, having some similarities in those aspects, at least athletically, can definitely help out. And, you know, it's been done before with a lot of people developing at the next level and kind of finding their groove. So I think that's definitely a big promising point for me, making the transition to a tight end opposed to quarterback.
I can think of at least two Hall of Fame NFL tight ends who were failed college basketball players right off the top of my head. So, yeah, actually three, I think. So, you know, it's definitely been done before. It can definitely be done again. And certainly the footwork and the hands that you've developed, you know, playing quarterback and playing on the basketball court are going to serve you very well. Now, people know you as a Seahawk, but you, of course, were a John Paul II Golden Warrior before that and actually led that team to a state championship game. And we got a couple questions for you on Twitter from your old buddies. Hayden Jennings wants to know if you miss holding the shield core values from the Golden Warriors of JP2.
I saw that come up, and I knew exactly what he was doing there. Yeah, you know, I miss those guys a lot, and I learned a lot from them as far as the, like, leadership perspective. Being a part of a team, you know, that was really the birth of my varsity sports, was my freshman year at John Paul playing both basketball and football. So, you know, being around those guys and kind of learning underneath them, as well as, you know, taking my own steps in growth. For sure, John Paul was an awesome opportunity for me to do that. And yeah, I mean, Hayden and I still talk daily and talk about the next level. And obviously he's going on to play baseball and I'm very proud of him for doing that and, you know, putting it on himself to develop himself to be able to, yeah, play baseball in college, which is an awesome opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, you had a tremendous career at JP2. And of course, you decided to come over to Hilton Head, and what a tremendous decision that was. Speaking of teammates, Gaston Moore, a fantastic player on the football field and the basketball court. Tell me what he taught you in 2019 as a senior when he was out there on the field, and what you've learned from his work ethic and his experiences, kind of building on your experiences that you guys at Golden Warrior.
For sure. I think that, you know, as soon as I came in, Gaston was very open to me, you know, kind of learning from him as far as the quarterback role goes. And that translated immediately over into basketball. He's awesome. You know, we were in many meetings together watching film and over there just kind of doing our own thing as far as football goes, because we didn't really play at all on defense. So there was a lot of time spent between the two of us. And for sure, definitely things rub off. Yeah, he was a great leader, very hard worker. He was very, like, particular about what he was doing, and he was always focused on doing – so if he was going to do something, he was going to go 110%, and that's one thing that I really respected out of him is, you know, if it was a basketball game and maybe he was talking to some coaches before, he was going to talk to some football coaches about playing in college, and he was going to devote himself to that. But as soon as, you know, the – kind of the switch flipped, he was ready to go on the basketball court and was always very intense. So I respected that out of him a lot.
Well, back to basketball, you guys are close to locking down a playoff spot. Even in this very strange season, you can do it by winning out in the region, locking up the number one seed that would get you into the playoffs, or by winning the region tournament, which I think is going to be really interesting. I'm interested to hear your perspective as a player on this shift. You know, the region tournament, settle it on the court and decide who goes to the playoffs. I think it's a great idea, and I actually think it's something that I hope sticks around after this.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I wish it would have happened last year, because I think we kind of had a weird game when we went up to Colleton, and I think that if we could have recouped and been able to play them again, it would have been a benefit to us. But yeah, I love it. Playing AAU, growing up and all that stuff, I agree. Settle it on the court, and point differential and all that stuff can't really, you know, decide which team's better, as opposed to a championship game, maybe in a region tournament, to decide who's kind of crowned the number one overall seed. But yeah, I love it. And it's, you know, it's going to be a challenge for sure. But it's one of those things, if, you know, you love to play in the game, so it's what you want.
Absolutely. And you know, you guys had a tremendous season last year too, as you mentioned, under Shane Brown's first season at the helm of the Seahawks. And tell me about how that season last year kind of established that culture, and how Gaston Moore and those seniors, along with Dean Seelbach, kind of came together and gave their all to this team. What did that teach you now as a senior leader of this squad?
For sure. You know, I think that they kind of watched the change in coaching. And I mean, they were a part of it for so long. They were a part of the old coach. And then with Coach Brown moving in, they really, it was the beginning of the embodiment of Coach Brown wanting to have a very intense team and get it done on the defensive end. Like I said, there were many a game where we would pride ourselves on, you know, a super low scoring game going into halftime. And for sure, I think that those guys really did a great job of kind of starting that culture on the team that Coach Brown wanted to push through, and kind of taking it over from those seniors, moving it in here with Will coming in. But obviously, Adam's been here, Nikedrick, Trayvon was here last year. And so those seniors were able to come together and kind of keep that culture moving. And I think we've taken it and, you know, ran with it.
You mentioned the region tournament coming up. Tell me about your thoughts as a whole on this team and what you'd like to see yourself and the squad improve on going into the stretch run.
Yeah, you know, I think one thing, well, our goal every game is to try and hold teams under 40 points. And that's, you know, a Coach Brown defensive intensity aspect of his coaching that he wants to implant with us. So I think that you know, whether we're up by a bunch or not, or if it's a super close game, we got to pride ourselves on getting stops and then getting scores following that. So I think that, you know, getting kind of dirty with it on the defensive end and maybe, you know, having to scrap for some rebounds or some steals. I would like to see that improvement to be able to kind of take the game from a sprint track race up and down the floor to getting more stops and being able to get down the floor and have more efficient buckets. And if Will wants to go down and do a windmill or something, if we get a steal, then that, you know, obviously be loved. But, you know, I think getting down and playing some hard defense and being able to get steals, get rebounds and push it on the fast break would be something that Coach Brown would love. But I think across the board, we would love that.
Well, I mean, not a lot of teams can run three D1 athletes out there and run the floor like that. That's when you guys get going and you start having fun. I think of that game at Bluffton a couple weeks ago. You actually got a little too cute on a couple of them, or you might have been had some spectacular ones, but you guys were really just kind of NBA jamming it out there. It looks like you guys are just having a blast when you get it rolling.
For sure. It's so much fun. And, you know, from our first scrimmage at Effingham, we were kind of able to see flashes of it. We saw a couple of the breakaway dunks. We saw a couple of the putbacks. We saw a couple of those things. And I think that that's just elevated itself to this point where we've gotten more comfortable playing with each other. So for sure, I think we are at our best when we're getting stops, getting out of the fast break, because, you know, it's just more fun brand of basketball. People are dunking, getting steals, getting putbacks and ones, that kind of stuff. It definitely just naturally elevates the level of play, you know, among our whole team.
Absolutely. You guys have been a really fun team to watch. Sam, we also love to get to know our student athletes on and off the court. Tell us a little about your hobbies and your interests off the court, off the field. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, I mean, just hang out with friends. You know, it's kind of everybody's still a high school kid, so hang out with friends and do that stuff. I mean, obviously now with kind of school going back, and I'm virtual now through this second semester to help me train for football. But when football, or when it's the regular season in basketball and you're in school from 8:30 to 2:30 or 3:30 and you're right then on the basketball court, there's not too much time where you're trying to do anything else other than sleep and eat when you get home. So I think, you know, everybody's a high school kid, but during the regular season, it's tough to be doing much else other than playing basketball and going to school. And then when you're done, you're done.
You've definitely got your plate full, and hopefully some great things coming your way in the near future. We look forward to keeping up with you in the recruiting and seeing where you land. And then, of course, following you the rest of the way and maybe even, you know, to the next level after that. Who knows, man? We appreciate you taking time, and we know you're busy. So thanks for sitting down with us, and congratulations on all the success, and best of luck the rest of the way, man.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I'll be right back with more here on the Loco Sports Lowdown. Hey, Loco Sports fans. If your resolution for 2021 was to get your fitness in order, you've got to check out the New Year, New You program at the eFit Club in Bluffton. Their fitness and nutrition program, combined with their unique eGym format that provides a personalized workout, will get you back in top form in no time. You've never seen a gym like this, and when you sign up for the New Year, New You program for $149 per month, and you can cancel anytime, you can upgrade to a full membership at a discount. eFit Club in Bluffton. Change your fitness. Change your life.
Well, once again, Wes, what a phenomenal interview, and what a privilege it's been to cover Sam Suma's career, man. I mean, from the time he was a freshman quarterback at John Paul II to now, you know, on the cusp of playing Division I football as a tight end. And I truly believe he's got the potential to play on Sundays. And I talked to BJ Payne a little bit about it and said, you know, I think he could be a NFL tight end. And he said, he's 6'7". 235, and he's only 17 years old. He might be an NFL tackle. And that is not outside the realm of possibility, because Sam could easily be about 6'9", 280 by the time he comes out of there. And he may be looking like a left tackle or a right tackle for somebody instead of a tight end. So we'll see what happens with him. I think with his hands and feet, he's more likely to stick at tight end. But certainly if he outgrows that role, you know, the opportunity to move inside is there for him.
Yeah, I, and BJ Payne is such a tremendous coach, and you got to give somebody props to him on what he's done growing his entire team, but especially Sam Suma. And I agree with you. I think he certainly does have the chance to make it to the NFL. And maybe even, as BJ said, transfer over to an offensive lineman. And he's got all the skills to do so. And he's only going to get stronger in the next couple of years over at college, wherever he decides to go. So the future is so, so bright for Sam Suma and whatever he decides to do in life. But I really think he's got a future to succeed in the gridiron for many years.
No question. And we look forward to following him wherever it takes him. All right. Well, let's bring it back to speaking. We're talking a lot about college athletes. Let's talk about some local college athletes. USCB off to a great start this spring already. Track and field has been off to a fantastic, having a great, fantastic indoor season, and now getting ready for the Sun Conference Championship. And then the baseball and softball teams kicking it off these past couple of weeks, which we've talked about a little bit. Softball off to a great start. Baseball sitting at 2-2, a couple of close losses, one of them in extra innings. The pitching staff has been phenomenal. They've allowed one run or less in 3 out of their 4 games, which is very encouraging. And you've been out to the Shark Park, West, to see the softball team. I think you caught a little bit of the baseball games online yesterday. This is shaping up to be a pretty fun spring out at USCB.
Absolutely. What a fun time it was to go over to Richard Gray Sports Complex and see the softball squad in action. And man, they are dialed in, put together a pair of really impressive performances to start the season. The pitching was phenomenal. 2 complete games, one from Maria Melasso and another from Allie Maraskin. And she is going to be a star this year. One hitter with 6 strikeouts in her Sand Shark debut, hitting her spots all afternoon. She's just that veteran who knows how to get the big K and get the job done. Former Florida Gatorade Player of the Year, and man, she is going to dominate in the Sun Conference. Not only is she on the watch list as one of the best players, but I think she's right there at the top of the league. So watch out, Sun Conference. Maraskin is going to be a superstar. Rachel Frankhauser with a nice 3-for-3 day at the plate, and Amber Lacasto with a trio of RBIs. So some impressive performances for softball to open up the regular season. I really think Bailey Wickness would like to see a little more out of the offense, but the pitching has been dialed in so far. And Melasso and Maraskin combining for just 1 run, and the only run they allowed was unearned off the fielding error. So a strong start for the pitching staff. That team is looking very, very solid as a whole. And then Ted Faulkner doing a wonderful job so far on the baseball diamond for the Sand Sharks. 2-2 start, but you know, both of those losses were very, very close to becoming wins. You know, the star of the week was Matt Malatesta, dominant on the mound. You know, 2 wins and 2 starts, just 1 run, 8 strikeouts, tremendous. And this is a senior who was just itching to get back out there after the season was cut short in 2020, and just very impressive first 2 starts at the mound. And what a start for Leandy Castro, 5-for-12 for homer. Really impressed by his plate discipline, drawing some walks, a .588 on base percentage after 4 games, and really some outstanding contributions to that offense. And then Tavares Sherrall coming up clutch with a couple RBIs in the series with St. Andrews. So, but then how about Griffin Castle? Runners on 2nd and 3rd, 1-run lead, nobody out. And he retires 3 straight with an infield fly, a strikeout, and a ground out to get out of trouble. That is incredibly clutch. You know how hard that is to do as a relief pitcher, coming in there with all the pressure on and getting the job done. Nobody out, 2 runners on. That's what you want to see from a closer. So a fantastic job by Castle, shut down, and a really solid start for Ted Faulkner's squad.
Yeah. I mean, definitely Castle coming out there. I mean, you can't even bounce one there, right? Or it's tied. Like, that's a tough spot to be in, you know, coming into the out of the bullpen and trying to save it for Malatesta, who's pitched a dang gem, and you don't want to let it get away for him. But what I'm most encouraged about, you know, I was texting with Coach Faulkner before the season, talking about, you know, the guys he's brought in, and certainly they brought in some transfers who are going to help them and are helping them right away. But he said, you know, we're trying to get the most out of what we have. And what we've seen so far is guys like Leandy Castro and Tavares Terrell, who have been holdovers, you know, from last season, coming out of the gate, really, really swinging the bat well, really playing well and taking leadership roles. And that's what you want to see. You know, you want to see those guys elevate their game to match the influx of new talent. and fighting for their jobs. And that's how you get better day in and day out. And I think Ted Faulkner is off to a very good start over there. He's brought a bunch of guys home, you know, to who are South Effingham, Effingham County guys, Savannah area guys. And then I think the next step is starting to bring home some Loco guys and recruit the high schools better. And he could start to build something really special out there again, because that program was really poised to be a perennial top 10 NAIA World Series contender. And then it took a couple steps back, but I think they can get back there really quickly. And I think they're on off to a great start doing that. And then we have a new college that we cover now, Wes. Our expansion to Colleton County has opened us up to USC Salkehatchee. It's an interesting situation at Salk because they play some of their sports in Allendale and some of their sports in Walterboro. So they're kind of straddling our coverage area for right now. But certainly the basketball teams playing in Walterboro are off to a red hot start. Their season was delayed, but they just got started here in the past couple of weeks, and the men are off to a 3-0 start and ranked in the top 25 in the National Junior College ranks for only the second time in program history. And the women are 2-0 and have been absolutely dominant. So I'm excited, Wes, to be able to keep an eye on Salkehatchee basketball. And hopefully as the season gets on and maybe we have an opening in the schedule, we can get up there and check them out sometime.
What an amazing start for USC Salk basketball, you know, both the men's and the women's squads undefeated to start the season. And the men's ranked number 22 in the NJCAA poll after a 3-0 start. So an impressive win over East Georgia State on Tuesday. Deshaun Daniels, a really efficient 7-for-10 from the field, including three triples, really impressive shooting nights. 13-33, the team shot from beyond the arc. That's going to win you some games if you can shoot at that clip. So, a nice game off the bench from Sincere Scott, making impact plays all around. That's terrific to see a guy coming off the bench and scoring 14, making some big plays all around. So, these guys are on a roll. See if they can keep it going against Georgia Highlands on Friday. And then the women also off to an undefeated start. How about 34 from a freshman, Holly Davis? What a performance. 8-for-16 from deep. Are you kidding me? And just her second college game. I don't even think Steph did that in the second game at Davidson. That's an amazing start to her college career. Balanced scored across the board, 5 in double figures. So in a 109-75 win over Denmark Tech. So both teams off to a tremendous start. They've got some shooters. They've been putting all together already. So outstanding.
Yeah, man, it's very exciting. I mean, the men's program is excellent. You know, I haven't followed them that closely because they've just kind of been just outside our coverage area, but I've kept tabs on them a little bit. And they've been sending dudes off to big time D1 programs where they're making major impacts. Like they got a guy from last year's at St. John's averaging 20 plus. Like they're bringing in some serious talent. And if you haven't been around junior college basketball, which a lot of people in South Carolina really haven't because it's not that prolific, man, you can see some serious talent at the junior college level. A lot of kids who were D1 recruits who didn't have the grades or didn't have the financial means or whatever reason, they ended up at a junior college for their first 2 years. And they go on and do major things at the D1 level when they get done there. So, you know, Walterboro has really rallied around this program. You know, I don't know how much support there is for some of the programs out in Allendale, but in Walterboro, certainly they are excited about this basketball team. And I think part of it is what we talked about with USCB baseball. They've recruited locally. You know, they've got kids from Colleton County on their rosters, including, of course, Alex Sherrill was on the men's roster before, you know, tragically he was killed in the car accident. But they also have Amari Kirkland, former Colleton County star, who's playing for the women and tearing it up on the board. So, you know, I think that's a big part of it is certainly you're not going to be a nationally ranked program if you only recruit locally. You're going to have to go out and get kids from other places. But if you want to build that affinity and get that community support, you better have a couple local kids on that roster and put some butts in the seat who care about the kids and not necessarily just the wins and losses. That's how you start to build that affinity and build something special. And I think they got something good going out at Salk, and I look forward to covering those teams a little bit more closely and getting to know the players and coaches a little bit better as we go along here. All right, Wes, well, we've talked just about long enough for the folks, but let's bring this thing in for a landing with our teams of the week. We got wrestling teams, we got basketball teams, We got college teams. We got a lot to pick from all of a sudden, and it's going to be an even bigger embarrassment of riches in a few weeks when spring season really gets rolling. But who are you going with this week for your teams of the week?
There are so many choices. I could pick so many different teams this week, but I am going to go with a team. I'm going to go with a 2-for-1 here and pick two teams we haven't talked about so far, and that's the boys and girls Whale Branch basketball teams. I mean, you know, what more is there to say about what LaToya Mack has done? Just a phenomenal coach. And you know, as we've seen, it's just so difficult to come back after a long layoff without a game. And so they go 16 days without a game, and they put up another tremendous performance. And look how balanced the scoring was. You got four double figures, Johnny Thompson with 16, Connie Barnwell, Jasmine Diaz, and Aaron Rivers on double digits. And I'm just so impressed by the team as a whole really working together to find those efficient shots, and everyone's so dialed in, and they just know how to score the basket. I mean, Diaz she's been mostly known as a defensive specialist, but she's really continued to become that go-to scoring outlet as well. And it's just so hard to defend both Kainu and Johnny. And then you got Aaron Rivers, who's just a beast in the paint. And then Layla Love, really after getting some big minutes when Rivers was sidelined, Love just, she found her groove, and now she's become another reliable option. So this team's clicking on all cylinders. It's not just one or two players. Everyone's making some big time plays. And so a big test this weekend against Military Magnet. Oh, that's going to be a fantastic game. Not going to be an easy one at all. That's a highly ranked opponent. I mean, especially this year, every region game is enormous, especially this one. So we'll see if they can keep it going. They have some outstanding talent and phenomenal coaching. And I really think they can take them all the way to Columbia this year. And then we haven't really talked about them much, but the Whale Branch boys have kind of quietly cruised to a 4-0 region start. And once again, they did it after a long layoff. So it's very impressive. Devontae Bernard leading the way with 18, Jaquan Gillison with 10 in the winner for St. John's. So, I mean, they just know how to win. And, you know, with a senior leader like Jalen Reeves, that veteran leadership just so valuable to the success of that team. And, you know, he wants to go another deep playoff run this winter. So, huge game against Baptist Hill. They're also undefeated. So, what an opportunity for Jim Raymond's squad.
Yeah, I think I may try to get out to Seabrook tonight, as a matter of fact. I've been trying to figure out where to go. There's so many different games that I could go to, but I haven't seen Whale Branch in a long time. I only got to see the tail end of a girls' game, so I really want to see LaToya Mack's team a little more up close and for a little bit longer, and both those matchups are pretty interesting tonight. So absolutely agree with you on both of these teams for, you know, completely different reasons. But, man, what can you say about Jim Raymond as a coach to be able to come back after losing four starters, including a generational talent who goes on to play Division I basketball, and to be where they are. And I mean, if you've seen them play, you're like, they can't, there's no way they're undefeated in region, but they just find a way to do it. They will beat you however they have to beat you. There's no pride about it, no ego about it. It's whatever we got to do to win, we're going to get it done. They're really a blue collar team. And I love those kids. I love that culture at Whale Branch and at Seabrook. They're fighters, man. And every sport across the board, they're going to give you everything they got. And so I look forward to seeing how far they can take it. You know, the girls, I think, are state championship caliber team. I don't think the boys are, but I didn't think they'd be any good either, and they keep winning games. So I'm definitely not going to sleep on them. I'm not going to count them out. And if they can finish off a region title, which is, you know, still an uphill climb, but if they could do it, then the playoffs really set up well for them, and who knows how far they can take it in Class 1A. So great picks there, Wes. My teams of the week, man, I'm kind of struggling. We've got so many to choose from. I kind of want to go with one of the college teams maybe, but man, Hilton Head High boys basketball has been just absolutely phenomenal. Will McCracken, we talked about it plenty with Sam and as well on the Loco Hoops report, but the 43 point night was just ridiculous. And every time I see these guys, they get a little bit better as far as how they play together and you know, how they work together. And they're still, I think, kind of figuring out what their biggest strengths are and learning to play to them. And I'm really excited to see how far they can take it in the postseason. And then, of course, the Hilton Head Christian Academy girls. You can't say enough about them. They went out last week and found the toughest team they could play in the state of South Carolina and got their butts kicked by 20. And then they came back and beat the doors off everybody, including Buford Academy, which was thought to be the one team in the region that might be able to compete with them, and they couldn't. It wasn't even close. You know, Hilton Head Christian Academy girls, Hilton Head High boys, those are probably the two teams that I'm most excited to see in the postseason, as well as those Whale Branch girls that you mentioned. So those are my teams of the week. Certainly we could have gone a bunch of different directions, but I think the ones we landed on are very deserving.
Absolutely. Those teams are certainly deserving of team of the week honors. What more can you say about Wilma Kraken? Unbelievable 43-point record-breaking night at Lucy Beckham. It's just a phenomenal shooting performance from behind the arc, and they just kept getting to him, and they just rode the hot hand all the way to a 96-point output. So, it wasn't pretty at times against Bluffton, but they scrapped their way to a win, and you know, it says something about getting the job done even with when. Your two biggest stars get into foul trouble. Those other players on the team picking it up when they're called upon, and then talk about guys coming in like the Kedrick Black and his return to the Hilton Head Seahawks. Zach Morris making a big shot, and then Adam Clark draining four threes, including two right out of the half. And Alex Smith delivered a dime to the corner, and Adam Clark knocked it down. That entire team is just really impressive on the offensive end. They're moving the ball well. Finding open looks. It hasn't just been McCracken, Sam Suma. They've been some others that have been able to hit some big shots, like an Adam Clark. Alex Smith can finish inside so well. And then you got some bench players that have really stepped up and have given them some quality minutes. So really impressed by the Hilton Head Seahawks closing in on that region title. If they can take a couple more games, they'll at least clinch their playoff spot and then look to get the number one seed in the region tournament. So great call there. And Hilton and Christian Academy girls, they took a beating in their first loss against Cardinal Newman. What a powerhouse they are, but they came back, responded in a huge win over Buford Academy, and Dior Shelton, just a beast, 22 points. That tandem of two guards, Molly Smith, Devin Yard, so hard to stop. Mary Yanker playing some great D. Abby Peduzzi is just a gamer out there. What a team, just an embarrassment of riches. And we talked about both of these squads, Hilton Head boys and the Hilton Head Christian Academy girls, on the Loco Hoops Report. So go over to our website if you want to listen to more high school basketball coverage. We got it on the website for you on the Loco Hoops Report.
No question. We got plenty of content out there. If you are not informed about local sports in the South Carolina Lowcountry, it ain't our fault. It's your fault. We are getting it all out there for you one way or another. Lots of different formats, lots of different media. So however you like to consume your sports news, we got you covered on the local front, and we're going to keep doing it as long as you keep supporting it. So that is going to do it for this episode of the Loco Lowdown. Thanks so much to our sponsors. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being a part of it. Until next time, go Loco.